Sounds good.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection Podcast. Today's episode is on mental management. Lori, what do you have to say about that?
It's probably the hardest thing we have to master. For sure. But the most, or one of the most important things we need to master in the sport that we do.
For sure.
Yeah. So mental management is, you know, I never really knew much about it until pretty recently in my career of doing this, within the last couple of years, on the really what it was and the importance of it, especially for my poor little dogs. But I think the importance, what is mental management? I guess we should start there. Like, what is mental management? We throw those words around a lot, right? I mean, I don't have like a dictionary.
No, that's
but
it doesn't have to.
Really, to me, if I'm gonna just put it in how I think about it and how I deal with it and train myself for it, I'm really trying to control and kind of master like my natural instincts or reactions to things going on around me. I think that's a big thing for me. I'm a very reactive person. I'm kind of trigger happy. I am a reactive person. Like, it's that something I have to work on. Like, I don't think before I speak. It's just how I am.
The filter is broken. That's what I always say.
The filter is broken. My emotions get the best of me. A lot is probably, out of everything I do with what I do training my dogs, that is my most difficult thing, is controlling my reactions to things and staying focused at the same time. Like, right? So when we talk mental management, like, we're always talking about making sure you stay focused, concentrating on what we're doing, our handling with our dogs. But really, at the same time, we're controlling our instinct to react to environment or things that are happening around us. At the same time, it runs parallel with staying focused and concentrating on task at hand. So that's why I bring that up, because it's really hard for me. And I think one of the best examples, especially just coming off the NOC, was what happened at the NOC on my first day in my second ring. I thought I had my shit together and I was focused and I was relying on somebody, my poor husband.
Your inexperienced husband who had no idea what he was
doing. Didn't know what he was doing. And anyway, so it just came down to the fact that there was miscommunication on when I was in next in that second ring. And when they were calling me to come in and I wasn't ready, and I immediately reacted, right? I wasn't, like, to me, response and reaction are two totally different things. Like, I reacted on my natural instinct of being afraid that I was going to make the judge wait. I was nervous to begin with. Like, so all these things, like, I completely aborted any sort of mental management of trying to control how I was reacting. Like, it got away from me. I reacted. I got pissed at my husband. I was nervous. I spooked my dog in the meantime because I wasn't even concentrating on handling her appropriately, being about to go into this ring. And it was a huge wake-up call and lesson learned, because things at the end of the day in our world are going to go wrong. Like, you know, there's going to be distractions. There, things are going to go wrong. Somebody's going to snark at you. You're going to forget a piece of equipment. You're going to forget your dumbbell. it could send you into a tailspin, right? So there's so much to mental management.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think the most important thing there is you're already a huge step ahead of most people because you already know something about yourself, right? So yeah. Self-awareness, like understanding how you think and how you feel and how you react. Like if you don't understand that, you're not going to be able to control it, right? So that always comes first. So in like Buddhist training and so everybody thinks meditation is about you're supposed to sit there and just you're supposed to have a clean, like a clear mind, like no thoughts, and it's supposed to be bliss. Yeah, no. Totally wrong. And that's why so many people go, oh, meditation doesn't work, because that's completely not what it's about at all. It's about sitting and watching the thoughts that go through your mind and observing them and then observing also like how they make you feel, right? Because that's when you learn to A, recognize your thoughts, see how they're, and some of it is like nonsensical, like it is insane. So one of the first times, so I had started to try to become aware of my thoughts, right? And so this is the craziest thing ever. So in real time, so I was trying to become aware of them happening in real time. So I was doing physical therapy on dogs at the time. So I'm sitting on the floor, the dog's on the floor, the owner's on the floor. I'm massaging the dog. The owner's just talking to me, right? And I'm just like listening. And all of a sudden I felt terrible about myself. Like I just felt depressed and like I was a loser. And I'm like, where the heck did that just come from? And I was like, oh my God. So she had said something about like sitting in front of her fireplace. My brain concocted this entire story that she had this fireplace and this beautiful house and everything was lovely and perfect. And her life was amazing. And I have this old house and it doesn't have a fireplace and I'm a loser. And I went, oh my God, that is like the musings of a crazy person. But that's what our brains do. And right. It's not even logical. And then we react to that.
Right.
And that's how we get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. So the first thing is just to even become aware of like what you think and how you think and then how you react to it. Right. So like,
exactly.
If your dog is struggling, and you're frustrated, you should really put the dog down and go, why am I so frustrated? Not because my dog can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
With me, sometimes it's because I feel like I'm not good enough, right? Like I'm not, because that's my just inherent like go-to, I don't feel like I'm good enough, yeah. Or I doubt myself as a trainer. Like, you know, maybe this whole thing I'm trying to accomplish here, doing it my way, maybe it's just not going to work. Like those are the underlying thoughts, really the true underlying thoughts that frustrate that, because really, for God's sakes, I've been doing this forever. I know that dogs can't, sometimes you get stuck. Right. I know that sometimes they don't know what the heck we want from them. I know that training goes up and down. It ebbs and flows. I know all of those things. Why am I even frustrated? Like, right? It's something deeper than that. But if we don't take the time to kind of explore that and figure that out, some of my clients, my students, I should say, like, they'll say, you know, it's really hard for me to train my dog as a store because I feel self-conscious. I'm like, great, because this is what you're going to need to work on. And I'd rather you work it out at the store than in the ring.
Right.
You know, why are you self-conscious? Okay, let's work through that. You need to come up with some strategies that work for you that help you get over that feeling, because that's going to, you know, adversely impact your ring performance, and it's going to adversely impact your dog.
Yeah, that's so important. That's a big struggle of mine, or was a big struggle of mine in the past. And I did have to find strategies to be able to control my emotional state, you know, to control my reactions to feeling insecure, because I mean, there were times especially in the beginning when I would go to a trial, this was a big thing. Like my default behavior too, sometimes falls back to I'm not good enough. So I'd go to trials and especially when certain people would be there, I'm like, Oh God, such and such is here. Oh my God. Why did I enter? Why am I here? I don't deserve to be here. That like was a huge struggle of mine, that just because I had this insecurity in my own training, I had to really work through that. It took me a long time, years.
Well, and I think that's so important only because people go, can you recommend some books? I'll name a book. They'll go, oh, I read that. Okay. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
you don't read it and magically turn around and go and you're great now.
Yeah,
like you have to work on it every day, month after month, year after year, and quite frankly, forever. Because I've been working on this for literally decades, and yes, a lot of things are much easier. Well, and I should backtrack too, if people are like, oh God, well, it's really valuable, not just for competition and dog training. It's valuable. It transfers to your life. It makes your life 1,000 times better.
Absolutely.
But it's something you have to work on all the time. You don't have to work on it for hours and hours, 10, 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
But you just have to do it consistently. You just have to make a commitment to it. And then you need to maintain it forever, because humans are just human, right? Insecurities, everybody has them.
Yeah.
Worries, concerns, and life ebbs and flows. Sometimes things are going well, you feel good. Things are not going so well, you start to doubt yourself. Like, that's normal.
Well, and that's the thing too. You know, I am constantly working on it first it was mostly in my dog training, but then I use it in life too. Like you said, mm-hmm. like there's stuff that's going to happen. And the most important thing is you're really, really actively working on it. You're going to start to recognize those moments really quickly when they happen, and you're going to be able to quickly come up or use the tools or strategies that you've come up with to help you get through them. And those moments will pass. Like that's been a huge, huge game changer for me, not only in life, but really in what I'm doing, you know, with competition obedience. It's been a huge game changer for me for sure, because I am able to now quickly recognize when I'm having those whatever feelings or distraction, and I can quickly pull out those tools and be able to overcome that moment. I mean, I mess up all the time still.
Well, everybody does though, and that's part of it. You just have to just be like, okay, whatever. Like we can't be perfect all the time, right?
It's gonna get the best of you sometimes for sure, but as you know, just like that was my biggest takeaway from the NOC. Like everybody's like, oh, that was, you did awesome, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, but the biggest thing is I learned, like, that was the biggest moment. I am so grateful that actually happened to me. It was just a huge wake up call.
Yeah. It's just, a lesson, right? It's an important lesson. And that's how we learn. I mean, the funny thing is, like, I had a horrible, horrible upbringing. Like, I was physically abused. I was sexually abused. I was verbally abused. Nothing I ever did was right. Like, it was just a disaster. It was like a disaster. And then I had, like, undiagnosed, like, anxiety and depression, all this craziness. And so everything was, like, always chaos. And my, like, go-to is always, like, not enough, not enough. It's just, you know, not good enough. And so when I finally figured out to start working on this stuff, I mean, it takes a long time. Like, you'll see a little bit of progress and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And, you know, you'll struggle with things and then it'll get a little easier. And it just takes a really long time, but it's totally worth it because, I mean, I am a completely different person now than I was. And my life is 1,000 times better. When it came to competing, I was like my own worst enemy. I was constantly like tripping. All I did was trip over myself, like, and mess myself up because I had no mental management. Like, I could outwork anybody. I could suffer like nobody's business, you know, but mentally it was just a disaster. And it wasn't until I got Tyler when I realized, like, oh my God, like, this is a potentially good dog. This dog's giving me everything he's got. And I am like a train wreck. Mm-hmm. I better do something about this because it's not fair. It's not fair to my dog. And one of the first things I learned was that when I compete, it is not about qualifying, because this is where so many people go wrong. Like, their feelings are based on a tangible outcome that has to do with a score or a qualifying or a placement.
Yeah.
And when I learned to stop looking at that, like, it doesn't mean I can't set a goal and work towards a goal, but in each step, it's never about how did I place. It's about, did I do my job? And did my training hold up or not? If not, okay, I need to go work on that and make it better. So it's on this, like, internal versus external, right? So because if you make it external, you also end up you make the moment too big and you put way too much pressure on yourself and on the dog and on the whole situation. Like, I tell myself all the time, like, it's not world peace. Just going to do the very best we can.
Yeah.
Like, at this NOC, Carl was like, my training partner was helping me. At the end of the first day, he looked at me and he's like, I just can't process. I'm like, process what? He's like, you could, if you were any more relaxed, you would have been like not even at a show. Like, how could you be like that? I said, well, A, it's decades of hard work. And I went in there saying, we're going to do the very best we can. And I've learned the only thing I can control is what I can control. I can control my warm up, my handling, I can control myself. And then I've trained the dogs, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, right?
Like, right.
Any dog on any day can make a mistake. Any handler on any day can make a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're sitting there the whole time thinking about all the possible things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
First of all, you're going to manifest something. And second of all, like, that's out of your control at this point. Like, you trained your dog. focus on your job, because when you're focusing on all that other stuff, you're not focusing on your job. And then I would venture to say 95 to 98% of the people that compete with their dogs end up inadvertently messing their dogs up because they're not doing their job.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that was my big takeaway. I didn't do my job. And from that moment on, for the rest of that weekend, that was my only goal, was to do my job, no matter what. I needed to do my job and be the best handler and partner and teammate for my dog.
Yeah, and I think that's what people, if people set that as their goal, they would be doing so much, like it would be so much easier, right? Like they're so busy worrying about everything else that's going on around them, all the potential things that could go wrong, the environment, other dogs, they watch other people, they see, like, that's a kiss of death, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Watch other teams fail. Like, people start freaking out. And the interesting thing about, stress, right? Nerves, ring nerves, they're a primitive reaction, right? It puts us into fight or flight. And what happens when you're in fight or flight? Well, you're in survival mode. What do you do to survive? You have to identify all the dangers in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So what that translates, because there really are no saber-toothed tigers and we're really not in danger of dying. So, but we still focus on what could go wrong. The mm-hmm. interesting thing is, in reality, you could just as easily focus on all the things that go right. It's just not human nature.
Right.
You have to force yourself to override the negative with the positive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've seen it happen countless times where people like literally manifest something going wrong.
Right.
Like they say it, they obsess about it, and then it happens.
Yeah.
Well, how about you say or obsess that things are going to go well? Everything might not be perfect, but nothing terrible is going to happen. You know, none of these things that people are all complaining about are relevant.
Right.
It's just you and your dog, and you're just going to do the best you can. And that's really all anybody could ever ask of themselves or of their teammate.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, I think the best way to describe it is I've really become very protective of my mental management and myself. I'm really protective of, when I go to a trial, I'm super careful of what I'm exposing myself to, not to put my mental management game at risk. Mm-hmm. I guess to say, I know not to be standing watching team after team go and thinking bad thoughts about because of their NQing or blah, blah, blah. I know not to stand there and listen to people. I've got AirPods in all the time because I'm not avoiding people. I'm just being super protective of my thoughts. I think that's the best way to say
mm-hmm.
it.
No, that's a perfect way.
Like, I need to stay in my mental management game. It takes an enormous amount of effort for me. It's hard because we are being pulled into the environment by so much. It's so easy to get sidetracked and derailed off that. I think that's a big thing. People are like, I don't understand how to work on my mental management. I get so nervous. I start thinking all this stuff. And that's where you have to come up with strategies, you know, on how to keep yourself in that moment and on your mental management game. You know, I listen to certain music. I stay away from certain conversations. I don't watch dogs. All I do is make sure I know where I'm supposed to go and my strategy of handling my dog in the ring. I don't want to watch team after team. Sometimes I don't even hardly watch, like, I don't even watch, that's a big one. This is a huge one. When the judge is briefing the class and showing you the healing pattern and where everything is, I stopped going up ringside for that because everybody's standing there, the whole crowd. And that's where heads are coming together. The whispering starts. And I'm lucky because most of the time, 99.9% of the time, I'm in the middle of a run, you know, in the middle of a class. So the run order is I don't have to go first. So I've got time to go isolate myself and watch a team go in or two, just see where everything is, because that's like the worst thing I feel like is everybody stands there ringside. Oh, that's where he's starting the heel pattern. Oh my God. Why is he having a setup right so close to the gates? Oh, is he going to pick up that fuzz? Oh my God. Like, seriously, this is what goes on.
I know. I'm laughing because that's exactly what everybody says. Yeah. And everybody's panicking. And you feel that like panicky energy, right?
You do.
I one of the things I did way back, I've done so many different things. But, well, first of all, let me just say this. There are a million resources out there and they're free. Everybody is different.
Yes.
So what works for me is not necessarily going to work for you.
Right.
Right. So you have to invest a little bit of time listening to some. There's stuff on YouTube. There's stuff on podcasts. There are books. There are audiobooks. Like, there's no excuse. And it's all like free or really cheap. You just have to figure out what resonates. Like, oh, that makes sense to me. I can use that, right? So I used to put myself like in this imaginary bubble and be like, nothing is allowed inside, no negativity is allowed inside this bubble. If you want to come say something nice or happy or random to me, fine. But anything else, it's not allowed in the bubble. Like, this is my happy bubble. I am in my happy bubble. Now, luckily, I don't even need the bubble. I'm just in my head, happy in my head.
Well,
I'm
that's like, from, you know, like, that's from just good training, good mental management training.
Yeah, from just working on it over and over. So there's that. I think there's also like having a routine is important.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
Because when you get nervous, again, you go into fight or flight and you get hectic. And like, I know my brain starts to speed up and I get kind of scattered.
Yeah,
and
me
then
too.
I always just say, okay. Like, as soon as I feel myself get like that, I take a deep breath, I calm myself down, and I go to my routine. Because my routine is grounding, and then I'm not doing all kinds of wacky stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I follow my routine, whatever that, again, my routine is mine. It works for me. It makes sense for me, right? But it's kind of like, I unpack my thing, you know, I unpack my things. I don't like spend 18 hours looking for the perfect creating space and making myself insane over that, or the perfect parking space. I just park, I crate, you know, and then I have a routine. Like, I potty my dogs, they go in the crate. Like, I get all my things, my article, everything ready and organized. I go check in. I do an acclimation. Well, like, I have a whole series of steps that I do.
Yeah.
And I do those steps. Now, if something disrupts that routine, it is not the end of the world, because something, you know, I just go with the flow and then I go back onto my routine. Right. But the routine kind of gives you like a framework. So you're not just, you know, flitting all over the place, like
being
run by your emotions, because you are going to be nervous.
You like, are. Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, it's such a fallacy. Like, the whole, people think they shouldn't be nervous, or they look at me and they go, you are never nervous. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am. A lot of times, especially over the years, I've been very nervous, and the bigger the event, the more nervous. They're like, no, you're not. They argue with me. I'm like, just because I don't look nervous doesn't mean I'm not inside, but right. I have a strategy. Because I think people waste a lot of energy being frustrated that they're nervous and wanting to not be nervous.
Yeah,
just accept that it's part of the process. But manage the nerves. That's what's important.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do some deep breathing, listen to some music, write things down, like mantras down, and read them.
Yeah.
Like, I used to do that. I did this thing for a while with Zeal where every time I felt myself get nervous, I would go look at him and I'd go, there are no saber-toothed tigers. No, no, no. No tigers here. No saber-toothed tigers. And then I'd get all silly and I'd feel silly. And then it will go away. Like, if you laugh, laughter is the best medicine. Like, sometimes I'll just say some stupid thing to my dog and, like, crack myself up.
Right.
Because if you're laughing, it changes, literally changes your internal chemistry.
Definitely. Yeah.
Prior to this one, like, for four NOCs, my friend came and he was great because he's funny. And so I would say things to him and he laughs like hard. And then that makes me laugh hard. It is the most relaxing thing on the planet.
Yeah, definitely.
He would say something funny and crack me up. Like there, it is like, I think, oh, I was getting to do like a runoff. I don't know. It was something really, really very like stressful. And everybody's around and there's like massive stress in the air or whatever. And I'm standing there and I ask him something and he says, I don't know, the person with the papillion. And I go, what the fuck is a papillion?
Yeah, he told me that. So that's why.
And he meant papillon. And I am like, it's a papillon. The entire building, this was at the Nationals, okay, is like, everybody's like, serious, life or death. I almost peed my pants. We were laughing so hard. I think people must have thought, like, what is wrong with that?
You two have been drinking in the corner.
Yeah. And then after that, I did a runoff and I was calm as could be.
Right. Yeah.
It totally changes how you feel. So if you could come up with like mantras, jokes, something you say to yourself. Sometimes I picture people as caricatures so that like makes them look less intimidating.
You know, and I think that's a good point. Like when you said, you know, it's like life or death. I mean, your perspective is so altered when you're competing and you get like that. Like you don't even know, you're not even in like reality when you're like that. And one of my things to really keep me in perspective, I'm a super visual person, is, you know, I hike a lot with my dogs and I take tons of pictures. If anyone is friends with me or follows me on Facebook, like I'm always putting pictures of my dogs and we're outside. And that's where like that's my happy place. Like first and foremost, above everything else, that is my most favorite thing to do with my dogs. Like if I had to pick anything, it would be that, to be able to spend time with my dogs out in the woods, out in the fields. Like I love it. And I get such great enjoyment in watching my dogs. And I have all those pictures on my phone. And that will totally pop me out of whatever emotional state I've got myself whirled up in. If I'm like stressed or I'm in like that mode of like, oh my God, it's a life or death. And I'm like, wait a second. I pull up a picture and I look at it on my phone and I've got that in my head and I will bring that into the ring with me. And when I look down at my dog, that is what I'm seeing. And it just changes my whole chemical reaction to what's going on. Like it has been a lifesaver for me, for sure.
Yeah, and it helps you gain perspective. I mean, people should, what I started doing at shows is practicing gratitude, right? Like, I'm lucky that I can afford to do it. I'm lucky that I am physically healthy enough to do it. Like, I'm lucky that I'm able to do it in an air-conditioned building in the summer or a heated building. Because some people aren't in some parts of the country don't even have a lot of shows.
Right.
You know, some people can't afford a dog. They can't afford the medical bills, never mind training. I mean, and what I started doing is when I'm waiting with my dog, is I have my dog lie down, I kneel next to them, and inevitably they like roll on their back and they want a belly rub, right?
Yeah.
And like, I mindfully and purposefully look at them when I'm doing that. And I'm like, look, this is really all this means to this dog, right?
Yeah.
Like, my dog's not sitting there going,
let's go do fronts.
Hold on. Hold on. This is really important. I really need to qualify today. So stop it. You're interfering with me. No, the dog's like, oh, rub my belly. And then I remind myself of how much I love them. Like, I look at them and I remind myself, you know, I love you. And I really feel that in that moment.
Yeah.
So that then when it's almost time to go in the ring, I get them up, do my final little, make sure they're dialed in and go in the ring. Right. Because we have to make a conscious effort to maintain perspective.
Yep.
And that's huge. Like, people in this country, we're so fortunate. We're so blessed. Like, we lose perspective, right? We're so freaking spoiled. Like, oh God, my phone is buffering. And we start hitting the phone, the stupid phone. Ugh, why is it taking so long? And believe me, I've done it. So I get it.
Right.
But like, talk about like not having perspective, right? Like, I've been extremely fortunate. I've traveled to other countries. Holy Hannah, people, you have it good here. You know, there, and if you're not sure how good you have it, you guys, everybody loves being on their phone. Go on TikTok or whatever, Instagram, whatever. Look up. There are people like that live in African villages that their bug repellent is cow shit.
Yep.
So they rub cow shit all over their body. Now you could sit there and go, ew, ew. That's normal to them. They don't have like poison filled bug spray that
right.
they can use.
Right.
Like food. When I walk in stores, it gives me like headaches. Like, why do we need 80 different types of cereal? Like, you don't have that in other countries. You know, there are people that don't have enough food.
Right.
And I think a lot of times I like looking at those visuals because I feel like it grounds me. Like, it gives me perspective.
Yeah.
Because
definitely.
If I listen to people around me, they're complaining about their everyday trials and tribulations, because that's what humans do. They love to complain, you know? And that gives me perspective and reminds me of, you know, how lucky I am. So like, that's what we should be doing. We should be practicing gratitude when we're there. You know, when I have to park far away, I say to myself, this is really good because I can use the exercise, and I'm really lucky because I am able to walk that distance and carry all my stuff and make all those trips. Like, those are the things I tell myself.
Yeah.
You know,
too.
I'm not like, oh God, now I have to carry my stuff. It's so far and it's so heavy. And oh my God.
Right.
You know? And so you can do that constantly throughout the day. And if you make that a practice, it's very profound, and it's powerful, not just again in dog training, but in your everyday life as well. You know, some people journal. I don't journal, but some people do. Again, it's a matter of invest some time to figure out, first of all, to find some resources. Find what resonates with you, what makes sense to you, you know? And then you may have to go through several books or several YouTubes or so. That's okay. But don't just give up. Don't just read a book or listen to one podcast and go, well, that didn't work.
Well, and, you know, and that's the commitment piece, because at the end of the day, going back to, it is our job with our dogs, you know, you need to definitely commit to working on it so that you can be your best and do your best job for your dog. That's, you know, that is on my brain above anything else when I'm training. That is always now like a priority, is making sure I'm working on my mental management, being the best partner for my dog, first and foremost, for sure. And handling, like, you know, things are not going to, things, it's like a wedding. Something's gonna go wrong. Like, you need to expect it. Something's gonna go wrong. And you need to be able to work through that. It is not the end of the day. And I think a big one, I'll just use you as an example because it's perfect, is we were at a trial and the ring we were happy, it was a two ring trial. The ring that we were happened to be competing in was all the way at the other end of the building. This is up at Working Dogs. And they were calling Petra for a runoff and she didn't hear because she's all the way down at her crate. Oh my fucking God. You would think like it was an emergency 911. They are yelling and screaming. Like it was like, it was crazy. It set such a tone, right? Do you remember
this?
Yeah.
And I totally remember. And in my, I was at my crate because I had two dogs that had qualified. So I had two dogs that potentially could be in the runoff. So, but I didn't know which one, and if I'm by the ring, then I'm gonna have to go all the way back to my crate and put one dog back anyway. Right. So I just stayed by my crate. I heard at some point I heard them calling me. I just wanted to make sure because I've almost done a runoff with the wrong dog. So I wanted to, I had to make sure in my head, okay, this is the number. It's
and
this
the right
dog.
Number. Yeah.
So I have to put the other dog in the crate, and then I'm sorry. This is a living, breathing, feeling, sentient being at the end of my leash. Right. I am not dragging it while I frantically run over to the ring. Sorry, I ain't doing it. This is my partner. This is my teammate. My teammate comes first before anybody and anything else. So I am not wasting time. I'm not dilly-dallying, but neither am I going to frantically run over there because everybody's having a nervous breakdown over what?
Exactly.
I don't even know, like, what is happening. Like, everybody calm down, right? Like, I will get there and I will do my runoff. Like, never fear, you know? But yeah, that tension, right? And everybody, like, and then that group mentality, like, of everybody has to jump in and they're all frantic, so I'm going to be frantic. Like, no. Like, back away from the insanity. Get a hold of yourself.
Right? Exactly.
And just don't go down that route. But, you know, so,
and you handled it, like you handled it beautifully, because it could have caused it, you know, something like that could send a handler into a tailspin, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, when I first started, before I really had mental management, it absolutely did. You know, I would have been like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, I'd have been like talking it ad nauseum about, oh, can you believe, now, like, things happen. 2 minutes later, I don't even remember because I'm just not holding on to that stuff, right? Like, I constantly work to curate my life. Like, I don't purposefully do not watch the news. Like, I have curated who my friends are,
right?
Because life is hard enough. My dealing with my own brain and emotions is hard enough. I don't want to be, you know, taking in negative information. So I do my, now, does that mean my head's in the sand? No, I know what's going on in the world, but I get the information in a way where it's objective, right? And I can be informed without the like drama and all the, you know, stuff around it. Like, I just want to know facts. And other than that, I work on, I don't get too excited about things and I don't get too upset about things.
Right.
Like,
well, and that's the control. That's part of it. That's controlling instinct to react. Like, that's a big part of your mental management for sure. You know?
Oh yeah.
And it's hard because we're biologically made up to react to what's going on around us.
Yeah. And everybody has, you know, it is hard and everybody has insecurities and worries and
totally.
Different things going on in life, you know? It's unfortunate sometimes that people need something really terrible to happen to gain perspective, or they had to have like a rough childhood or something that kind of really gives people the ability to just have objective perspective. I mean, the biggest problem, and actually you just kind of said this, is emotions, right? Like not having control of emotions. So what I really try to do, like what a mental management coach once told me was like, when you go to look at the ring, like to kind of see the ring procedure, or if it's, you know, rally, you do a walkthrough or whatever. She's like, just think of yourself as like a detective. You're just gathering data, right? That's all you're doing is you're gathering data. Like, where am I setting up? Where am I going? Where is this? Where is that? And that's it. Every time you feel your emotions start to go, oh God, or oh, this way, just go, no, not doing that. Just gathering data. I'm just a detective, right? And for me, that resonated. And I wrote that down. And for a long time, I would have that on my crates. Like I would have a whole bunch of notes there, just like reminders, you know?
Yeah, I do that. I'm doing that. I need that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I used to have index cards with mantras on them. Yeah. And I would have them everywhere. Like I'd have them on my dashboard. I'd have it on my computer. I'd have it in the bathroom. I'd have it where I have my coffee. I'd have it in my training bag so that I would have this constant reminder and I would say it out loud, because saying it out loud for some reason is like really powerful. So
yeah, they're just help, you know, it's needing those helpful cues really to help you stay on track with it, you know? Because I don't know, like I'm always saying like we're being drawn in by the environment all the time and what's going on. And one of the biggest things is the drama that goes on. Like stay away from the drama. The second you feel it, run. Do not get caught up in the drama, because that is just a huge influencer of your mind state for sure, 100%.
And then you also remind yourself, like, why you were there. What is your goal, right? What is your intrinsic goal? Not like, I want a cue, I want a score, I want this, I don't. Like, what is your intrinsic goal? Like, I want to stay focused. I want to work on my transitions. I want to be able to do my handling to the, you know, okay, maybe you didn't do it perfect, but maybe it's a little bit better than last time. Like, I want to maintain connection with my dog. Like I want to stay focused the entire time I'm in the ring. Like those should be your goals. that you should write those down, constantly remind yourself of those goals. And then when you come out of the ring, no matter what happened, you know, go back to your crate and then remind yourself that you love your dog. You're taking the best dog home no matter what, even if you, some part of you wants to murder them at that moment. Like, you know that you really love the dog. So remind yourself of that. The dog has no idea what's happening. The dog doesn't know why you're upset or why you're disappointed.
And just remember, this is a big one. I am always reminding myself, the reality is they have such short lives.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like, I get choked up thinking about it because they are just not here long enough. And at the end of the day, they didn't sign up to do this stuff. We signed up for entering these trials or whatever. But at the end of the day, I mean, for me, I get my dogs. My dogs come into my home as pets, first and foremost. They're our companions. Like, they belong to my whole family. I train them, but they are members of this family first and foremost. And I am absolutely, I think about this all the time. Like, it is a huge piece of me keeping things in perspective, is just remembering, like, how freaking lucky I am that this dog is in my life and I have them healthy sitting in front of me. Because, I mean,
it's huge.
We all have lost dogs. It is gut-wrenching. It is, like, viscerally gut-wrenching. And they're just not here long enough. Like, so just
That's a really important point. And you also have to look at the big picture of life. Like, for me, dog training is not my identity. It is not who I am as a person. It doesn't decide my worth. It doesn't decide my value. It doesn't decide, like, it's just part of my life. It's something I choose to do. Like, there are so many, my life, there are so many aspects to my life.
Right.
That any one thing is never going to be like the end all,
right,
be all,
right,
you know,
100% shape you into who you are. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I remember, like, I can go back, even back in the day when I didn't have these skills and I would be really upset, let's say, with an outcome. So, like, in the car, I'd be so frustrated or so disappointed, but I always did this thing. This is something I've always done. I don't know where I got this from. This was not like a mental management thing, but I've always done this. Like, if something in life happens and it makes me really, really sad, I give myself I say, you are allowed to be sad for 2 days. So for 2 days, you can bawl your eyes out. You can lay on the couch. You can watch Netflix. You can eat crap. But at the end of those 2 days, it's over.
Yeah.
Get up, move on. Same with something that makes me super happy. Like, I don't know, somebody said to the other day, you still floating high? I'm like, I don't operate like that. Like, yeah, I was really happy and excited for a few days. But then I'm like, I put things in perspective, right? Like,
right.
I'm not going to for every day for a month or 6 months get up and go, wow, look at me. Oh, for God's sakes. No. Like, I'm always looking for the middle, like peace, equanimity, like being in the middle, right? Like, and this way, the lows aren't so low and the highs, you're just kind of in the middle. And that's a really good place to be. And so you don't get carried away. So even then, I'd be like, okay, you can be really upset about this until you get home. But once you get home, done. Onward, upward.
Yeah.
Right? And doing that, after a while, you're like, I wouldn't even be upset the whole car ride. And then it will get shorter and shorter because I'd be like, you know, by the time you get home, you're not even going to care anymore. Like,
exactly.
You're going to be over it. Like, you're going to be looking for the answer. How do I fix it? How do I make it better? Like, that's what you always do. So, like, why even bother getting upset? Like, it's not even worth it. Right? So I feel like if you start these practices, it'll be hard at first, and then you get a little bit better at it, and a little bit better at it, and a little bit better at it. But you do need to, I mean, to this day, literally, like, what was I listening to yesterday? A podcast about a prisoner that, and how it affected his life. And this guy was just, oh my God, he was amazing. And his perspective on life, and he changed his entire mindset all by himself in he was in solitary confinement for years.
Wow.
And it's did his mental he is such an amazing human being. So well-spoken, so intelligent.
Wow.
But why? Because I learned so many lessons and reminders. And he was all about gratitude. And I'm like, gosh darn it, I haven't been doing my gratitude practice. So started doing it again. Right. Then today, I don't watch mixed martial arts. It terrifies me. I'm like, I always feel like someone's going to die. This mixed martial artist was on, and I was like, wow. I'm like, he must be like, you know, Buddhist mental management type stuff, because his mindset was amazing. Again, talking about gratitude, talking about how he has a responsibility to exhibit good sportsmanship, to, you know, carry himself a certain way. Like, so many lessons in this conversation with him. So I'm listening to these things all the time. Sometimes I'll watch sports that I'm not even that interested in because of the lessons I learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the guy, like tennis, the guy looks like he's on the verge of losing and then he rallies back.
Right.
Or, you know, they're just constantly lessons. So I'm always looking for these lessons, even if I know them and they're just a reminder, because you need those constant refreshers.
Yeah.
Just because our human nature is just going to always go in the opposite direction. Unfortunately, it's annoyingly how we're wired.
Correct.
But also because of the world we live in.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and what we're surrounded by, like, if you're not careful, you're being bombarded by negativity. Well, you're being bombarded by fear.
Yeah. Be careful. Be careful where what you're being exposed to. Absolutely.
Yes. Like you said it perfectly, like, protect yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Protect your mind and protect your emotions, you know, because no one's going to do it for you. And, you know, it's just hilarious. Like, to this day, I can't tell you how many years I've been running. Many, 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 many years. People have been telling me from the day I started running until now, oh, you're running? That's terrible for you. You're going to mess up your knees. You're going to mess up your hips. You're going to mess up this. You're going to, why are you running that far? Oh, that's too unhealthy. Don't go out in the heat. You're going to get heat stroke. I'm like, no one except for one of my friends who happens to also be a runner says to me, good for you. Wow, that's good. I wish I could do it. No, it's always telling me about how bad running is for me.
Right, right. Well, that's the same that goes for being even at a trial. You know, you're going to watch people giving you free advice. That's a big one too. Like, be very careful of that. Oh, you should do this. Oh, this is how you need to do that. Oh, don't do that. Like, be very careful, because that in itself can cause such a negative, that can get you in a tailspin really quick on that. So be really careful who you're listening to.
Yeah. And I mean, you can listen and then you can, but then it doesn't mean you have to do it, right? Like, you need to make.
I don't listen. I just walk away. Spin around and walk. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm careful. Like, I see, I love helping people, and so I always like feel myself wanting to, and I'm like, don't do it, don't do it, because like somebody might not want to hear it, they might not be receptive, they might train differently. So my philosophy is that if someone asks me for help, I'm more than happy to help them, if I
Yes, I'm
can,
talking
you
about
know.
like standing there and something went wrong in the ring,
Oh,
and
and then
all of a sudden
yeah.
you're surrounded by six people. You know, I just I see that happen a lot, and I think that you just got to be really, again, just be careful. Be careful of what you're letting yourself listen to and hear and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, and what you have to remember too is, and this is important, because when you kind of go against the grain, which you will be if you're choosing to be positive, right? Initially, it can feel a little isolating because until you can find, hopefully, you know, one or two, three, if you're really
Like-minded.
lucky, like-minded people, right? And then you could hang out with them. Because, and it can feel a little isolating, but at the end of the day, again, I make choices based on, first and foremost, what's best for my dog. And what's best for my dog is that I am at my best. And if it, in order for me to be at my best, I need to get my head on straight. And in order to do that, I can't be around negativity, right? So therefore, I will, for a long time, years, I sat in a, like off to the side by myself, right? And that was a choice I made. I was like, and the thing is, I also think it's important to separate, like, again, are you there because it's a social outing? In which case, maybe you're going to make different choices. Like, I have friends outside of dog training. I have a life outside of dog training and dog competition. So I get my social outlet from that. Okay. Now, over time, I have found some, you know, people that are like-minded, you know, that are positive, overall positive. And so now I can sit or hang out with those people. And now it can be a little bit social as well. But at the end of the day, you know, if they're not there, and if that means I'm going to sit by myself, then I'm perfectly fine with that. Right?
Perfectly.
Because that's what I need to do in order to do to be the best teammate for my dog.
Which
And
is most important.
yeah, that's our obligation. Like, they didn't choose to do this, you know. They don't want to be yelled at, or they don't want you to be disappointed in them. You know, they're just trying to do the very best because they love us. So we should, you know, I mean, that's literally what started my mental management journey. It wasn't about, I didn't do it, I didn't, never thought to do it for myself until after. I was like, this dog is like killing himself for me, and I'm like fumbling and bumbling, and my head's a train wreck, and what that is completely unfair. And that was my motivator,
Same with me. Absolutely.
you know, and it continues to be my motivator to this day, like to keep working on my mental management. Because look, I'm human. I have bad days. I have days where I'm not as good
Yes.
as I should be. I have trials where I'm not as good as I should be,
Yes,
you
it's
know?
gonna get
So,
us. It's gonna get us
yeah.
time to time, for
And then I
sure.
have to forgive myself and just keep working on it, you know? Just keep trying and keep working on it. And so I feel like as long as you're trying, as long as you're making baby steps, right? Like, don't expect a huge turnaround from, you know, when you start until the next trial or even 6 months. Just work on baby steps. Like, say, okay, I'm going to do this one thing better.
Yeah.
You know, and then build on that. Okay, now I have that mastered. Now I'm going to do this other thing better.
Yeah. Great advice.
But you should be working on it. Like, it's so crazy to me that people are so obsessed with dog training, like, so obsessed with it. Like, if they miss, you know, I don't know, something happens, they're like, oh, God, I got to train. Or, oh, I twisted my ankle. Now I can't train. My world's coming to an end. They're so obsessed with training the dog, but yet they can't take 10, 15 minutes out of a day. And sometimes you don't even have to take extra time. Like, everybody's in their car. Stop making excuses. Play something in your freaking car.
Right.
Or in your headphones, or instead of scrolling through Facebook, you know, do something productive, like work on your mental management. Can you tell if I care about it?
I'm the same way. It is like that. Like I said, this is now, like, this is mate, like, number one priority that I am always working on, because I owe it to my dog. I owe it to my partner and myself.
Right. You do. You do. And like I said, I wish everybody just understood that not only is it going to help your dog training, it's going to help your whole life.
It is. And I just, like, I want to be better. I'm always striving to be better, right? Mm-hmm. A better person, same. A better guest. Like, I want to be better.
And always. We all should. We should strive to be better humans, because we can always be better, right?
Like, yeah.
That's why I always have like mental management goals, dog training goals,
right.
Fitness goals, like financial, like I have goals in every aspect of my life, because I'm always trying to push myself
to be better.
To be better. And it's not because I'm dissatisfied. Like, I remember a long time ago, somebody was like saying, you know, she's always like pushing and training, pushing, like she's never happy. I'm like, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
Like, striving to be better doesn't mean you're dissatisfied. Like, I'm, for the most part, generally very content, very at peace with my life in general. But yet, I'm still always going to strive to be better, because I just think that's living a productive, meaningful life if you're always trying to improve, right? I'm always asking myself, like, what am I doing to give back, right? Like, to the world and whatever, in whatever way, shape, or form, right? Because I don't want to just live my life all about me.
Yeah.
So we should always be like, it doesn't mean we're dissatisfied, doesn't mean we're unhappy, doesn't mean we only want to win. No, it just means we want to be better at whatever it is that we're doing. And I want to be a better trainer. I want to be a better handler.
Same.
And that's why I work on it with the dogs. And like I said, people are always asking me, you know, can you recommend your book, a podcast, blah, blah. I think it's better if you explore that yourself, because that's what I did. Like, I had to read different books until I found what resonated. You know, I had to listen to different podcasts until I found what works for me. Right.
And I think that if you really, really want to make that commitment to better that mental management, then you do. You need to get your hands dirty and figure out what's going to work, what reading material is going to work for you on your own. Yeah, you can be recommended books by somebody. But again, like you said, like, that's not, you know, you're not that person. That may not work. So you can't just say, yeah, I read it. It didn't magically work for me. That's not how it works. Like you said, like, you have to find what books don't work for me. Like, I'm just not, they just don't work. I need music. I need visual pictures. That's what like connects emotionally the best with me, inspirational wise for me, motivates me the best. Like that's what works for me, you know? So I think you have to like, if you really care enough to really work on it, you have to figure out what's going to work for you. There's so many resources out there. It's crazy.
And it changes over time. I mean, this is hilarious. So back when I used to be big on listening to music, right? So I did that for a long time. So I would listen to music, and when I would run on my treadmill and run like intervals and really hard workouts on my treadmill, I would play the same music and I'd be running and I'd be like visualizing and I'd be like, rah! Right? Like I was so like crazy. That's just where I was in my life.
Yeah.
And so I'd be at a dog show playing this crazy like rap music, heavy music, like loud, like Eminem, right?
Love it.
And so the funniest thing is people used to say to me like, what do you listen to? Like meditation music? Like classical music? I'm like, no. No. But like now if I listen to that, it would just give me a headache. Like,
right.
Because I'm at a different place in my life. Actually, yeah. I don't even need to listen to music anymore. Like I'm just a different person in a different phase of my life. You yes. know, just in well, a different I think, stage.
Yes, and that stuff can shift for sure. You know, that's going to like, there's going to be morphism going on with like, what's going to work? What do you need at this point? Once you are, you know, I mean, the ultimate goal is to just try to master it. Is there really mastery in it? I don't know. Like, I guess there is to some point, but I'm always
but
just
it's
striving.
Never fully mastered,
right,
really.
Correct, right? So on that journey of just getting better and better at it, your needs to do that, your strategies, your tools could definitely shift and change. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so the main thing is just the old Nike saying, just do it.
It's so corny. Oh, my God.
I don't know. What's the saying now? What do people say now? You have kids. What do they say?
They definitely don't say that. They'd be like, bro, lame.
All right. Well, I want you to ask them what to do now. What I want you to ask them, and I want you to text me so I know what the hip saying is.
I will.
For that.
I will.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Okay.
I need to know because I don't know what it is, but just get started and do something.
That's right.
Hey, look, the reality is the majority of people and dogs are older, which is unfortunate because we really need younger people in all our sports. And I feel like a lot of our sports have way more... you know, are predominantly older. Well, I guess part of it is you have to financially be able to afford it and you need to have the time to do it.
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe some people will say, it's okay, Patriot, that you said, just do it. We'll forgive you.
Yep. Yep. Back in the 80s, that was the thing to say.
I never said I was hip or cool. I'm just, okay. You know.
It's okay. My kids will bring you up to speed. Don't worry.
All right. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the text so that I can okay. know what to do. All right, guys.
All right. This was good. Keep at it.
Always remember that on our Facebook page, put suggestions there, put questions there, put comments there. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yeah,
it'll help.
Definitely.
It'll help us with future episodes. We want your input.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Happy training. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.